Welcome to Hero Talk with Talix and Trail. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trail.
And we're back this week. You know what we're going to be talking about?
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
You got that right. So let's get into the show.
What mystical creature is very well at ordering pizzas? A phoenix.
What?
The Order of the Phoenix?
Okay. What do you call it if this book really stank?
I have no idea.
Harry Potter and the Odor of the Phoenix. All right, so we're going to go into the MVP section right now. And so I wanted to know, who do you have as your MVP for this show?
My MVP was Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. Yeah. Okay. Why was Dumbledore your MVP?
He just came in, and then it was like a one-on-one dueling match between him and Voldemort, and I think that was a good little part of the movie. And even though it was short, Voldemort did do something like some ha out of his mouth with fire and stuff.
So Dumbledore is your favorite? Okay, Dumbledore is your MVP. Not my MVP, not interesting. Now, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm not going to go with most valuable person. I'm going to go with most valuable place. Ooh, see, look at that. Still MVP. Now, if we go think about it, room of requirement. Awesome place, right? Yeah. Dumbledore's army, they were able to practice. They were able to kind of get better at their spells to be able to do a lot better with the defense of the dark arts, because we all know that Dolores Umbridge was not going to teach them whatsoever. And so they needed to kind of get to a place to where they can kind of get better at dueling. So I think that the MVP is the room of requirement.
I mean, she made them write to where stuff, to where what they were writing was in their hand. Ooh, you would feel that tomorrow.
Yes, you definitely would. You feel that for quite a while. So, let's move on to the MVLs.
Now it's time for the most valuable losers.
All right, who's the most valuable loser?
Dolores Umbridge.
That's a strong candidate. Okay, talk to me. Why are they the most valuable loser?
She's trying to get rid of people and everything. And like we just said, she's making students write with pens that makes it come into their hands. I mean, after it fits their whole arm, where else would it go? And then she doesn't allow fun. And then she was mean.
Yeah,
she was mean to Miss McGonagall, I can tell you that.
Yeah, she was there from the very mean.
She was like, are you questioning me?
Yeah.
Just stepping up? Okay, you're short, lady. We get it.
She definitely tried to pull rank on that one. Now, kind of connected to your MVL, I'm going with Cornelius Fudge, Minister of Magic. Most valuable loser. Because if you think about it, he's the one that put Umbridge in place.
Okay.
He's the one that kept talking about, oh no, Voldemort's not back. Stop talking about it. You know, I'm like, you're sitting here on top of one of the most dangerous wizards that have ever been, and the signs are here. Everybody's saying that he's back, and you're so caught up in trying to look good and trying to keep your image up that you don't even want to believe it, just because you want people to think that, oh, I got everything under control. It sounds like a certain person that he thinks that he has everything under control and he can control everybody else and that everything's just going to fall in line. And I think it was a just he was the most valuable loser. Now, and then we're going to talk about it, because if you wanted to add into it, because he approved Dolores Umbridge's curriculum. So what she taught in the schools was basically what he wanted her to teach. So he basically did exactly what she did, what he wanted him to do. So, yeah, like.
Well, I mean, if I didn't totally forget about him, then yes, he would also be my most valuable loser. Actually, yeah.
Point for me. Ding.
Now it's time to talk about our favorite settings.
Okay.
Now, my favorite setting was when they were walking on the bridge and Harry was like, "We have something that Voldemort didn't have," and then Ron was like, "What?" And then he's like, "Something worth fighting for." I think that was like my favorite setting. That
it was really nice to look at. I think it was a very good background. So my favorite setting, you would think that because I made the most valuable place, the room of requirement, that would be my most my favorite setting.
I know yours.
Okay, tell me. Instruct me. Tell me. Let me know what was my favorite setting.
Your favorite setting out of this movie was like that place where Snape was when he was doing that thing with Harry.
Oh, when he was working on a lug, I can't say that. But he was trying to basically read his mind.
Yes.
No, that was it was up there. My favorite setting was Dolores Umbridge's office. Now, Trip, follow me. Now, look.
No.
Yes.
Cats?
Yes.
Cats?
Look.
Pink. No.
Wait. Not that I'm saying that I want a pink room full of cats. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in that room, it perfectly illustrated how creepy Umbridge was. Like, she was so creepy by taking all these things that normally is nice, that remind you of your grandma. You know, the nice china in the place. You got the teacups everywhere. It's got the little kittens all over the place. You know, the nice little frilly pink outfits and stuff. It seems so nice, but it just shows you how just over the top she was with it, and it just kind of like seeing what everything being in such like specific order for everything, that it knocked everything else out of whack. It just made it seem even worse and even creepy, and just because it was that effective being creepy made it a great setting.
Well, I mean, if none of that ever happened and she was just in her office and stuff, pink, the first thing you saw was things transforming into cats and pink.
Mm-hmm.
That means something horrible will happen in the future. Pink is the color of something.
Pink's a pretty cool color. I like to wear pink. It usually comes out pretty good on me. But in the case of Umbridge, not so much. All right, so let's talk about our favorite costume. You got a costume in mind?
Yes, I actually do.
Okay, what is it?
I think it was Sirius Black's outfit.
Why Sirius Black's outfit?
it looked nice, red and in black, and it went with his hairstyle and his beard and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like frilly, kind of like that swirly,
kind of
drapey kind of look. It did kind of come across really cool. Now,
when he walked, it was awesome.
Now, I got a costume for you that you didn't even think about. I can guarantee you didn't think about it.
How?
I can guarantee you.
Nobody thought about every single character.
Nobody thought about this one. Best costume in the movie, Voldemort's three-piece suit. You cannot tell me that when Harry thought he saw Voldemort on the train on the train station, that Voldemort was wearing that black-on-black suit.
He was like, so,
Yeah, he was looking all around weird and stuff like that. He was looking fly. Valdi was looking fly in that one.
I mean, but there's one thing that I just can't get over.
What's that?
His neck was like some yahoo, I'm reaching for the stars.
Yeah, he looked weird in it, but the costume itself was nice. It came through very clean. It was very crisp and nice, and I was like, oh man, I see Voldemort going to see Dapper Dan. Okay, so what's your favorite scene in this movie?
My favorite scene was my favorite setting.
What's that?
It was like when Harry was like, we have something Voldemort doesn't have. And I was like, so what? And then he was like, something we're fighting for. Yeah, that was my favorite scene. Mm. They were just walking on the bridge. I think that's like my second favorite scene.
Really? So what's your first favorite scene?
When Hermione was like, it's fun, isn't it? Breaking the rules. And I was like, "Some, who are you?
And so with both scenes, both of your favorite scenes have the same setting because both of those are on the bridge, right?
Yes!
That's interesting. That's interesting. Now, I'm surprised that you didn't pick this scene, but my favorite scene, the Voldemort-Dumbledore fight. You got to see
of course not.
So much amazing magic in that fight. And it was just, and it was amazing because you see, like, Voldemort shatters the glass, and then he uses the glass as projectiles. And then Dumbledore just simply puts up a shield, and it turns the glass to sand to where it doesn't even hurt him and everything. Like, it's just like, how powerful are these guys? Like, you got to see Voldemort call up the great green serpent fire thing to come down and fight. It was amazing to see them go at it. And just to kind of see where, in most cases, we just see an Expelliarmus. And these guys are calling up familiars that are able to take up whole rooms. It was an amazing thing to see those going at full strength.
I've seen better.
Where?
In the Harry Potter series, actually.
Okay, so are we talking about past this movie or before this movie?
Before.
Where?
In the Goblet of Fire. I mean, Harry versus Voldemort. It was amazing. He almost won, not even full strength. And then a whole bunch of spirits came out and stuff.
Yeah, that's helping because, him. That's because the wands linked up because it was because they were similar wands.
That's now, cool.
That was cool. That was cool. And it was also creepy because you got to see Harry's parents come out of that thing. But nevertheless, it was not Voldemort at full strength. This was Voldemort at full strength being able to use all of his magic. When he was at Goblet of Fire, he wasn't completely at his full strength. He was just still getting there. But here, he was fully at it and fully able to go down with it. And it also showed how great of a fighter Dumbledore is. I mean, that's just what it is.
Now it's time for some debate this.
Okay. So, the debate that we're going to have today, who is the more villainous villain? Umbridge or Voldemort? Of course, I've already been talking about Umbridge. I've already talked about how creepy she was, how she basically sucked all the fun out of going to Hogwarts. You had a defensive dark arts teacher who didn't teach you defense of any dark arts. You didn't get to learn anything. They had to go find a room of requirement just to even practice their spells. So you've got her on the first, just sucking the fun out of everything. Number two, she's being super creepy with the cats and the kittens and everything like that. And then you got, of course, we didn't even talk about Filch just running around, old Walder Frey going around. That's a difference from something else. Anyway, Filch going around and putting up all these decrees up on the wall.
No.
So many he had to get a super tall ladder to get it up there. So she's sucking the fun out of everything. She's being super creepy and she's being very malicious and ridiculously both physically and mentally abusive. She's being mentally abusive by talking down to people, talking down to fellow staff members, and she's being physically abusive by making them write on the back of their hands when they're in class. Like, they're all writing in class on these pieces of parchment with a quill that makes you scratch in the back of your hand. It cuts the back of your hand. So how are you going to tell me that somebody else is worse than that person? Because I can guarantee you that that is about as evil as you can get.
Well, I think it's Voldy.
Okay. Tell me. What does Voldemort do?
He was the person who forced Harry to go all out and stuff. And that made the minister sort of do something with Umbridge. So, he kind of caused it.
So, you're saying that Voldemort was kind of like the mastermind behind all this stuff?
Yes. I actually have a theory.
Okay.
That this was a plan so he could get to the Minister of Magic for Umbridge to terrorize the kids. Just so he'd have enough time to plan how he can destroy Hogwarts.
So you're saying that with Umbridge and Cornelius Fudge taking over Hogwarts, they basically kind of gave him time to figure out how to get into Hogwarts, or maybe gave him time to figure out how to kind of like to take the house down by not having Dumbledore be able to do all the stuff he normally does?
Because, I mean, they made Dumbledore disappear.
Right.
At the moment. And then, if they're torturing the kids, then that means, oh no, I'm just gonna stay at home in my house and just not worry at all. So then no one can stop Voldemort from getting in.
That is an interesting theory.
And then I'm serious. It's gonna work, cause Voldemort caused Harry to go crazy to make Cornelius Fudge say all this stuff that the Dark Lord is not back. And then,
so you think he was covering it up on purpose? Basically saying that, okay, I know he's back and I'm working with him, and so I gotta try to help him out?
Sort of like Snape, yes.
Okay. Okay. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad debate. That's not a bad debate. I mean, if he kind of constructed everything and kind of put Umbridge in place, then yeah, he's definitely probably the one that's the worst villain. All right, let's talk about some upgrades. What's an upgrade that you would have to make this movie better?
An upgrade that I like to talk about is, they could have made Umbridge at least wear blue. I mean, pink is okay, but if someone's wearing blue, at least it's a sign of that they're cool.
Okay, I guess I could see you with that one.
And less dark, so it kind of make it look. So if she was working with the Dark Lord, then it would all sort out into place instead of trying to just be over the top nice.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would say my super upgrade would probably be to kind of extend the amount of time that Voldemort wore that suit, because I think that it would have been a cool image of him in the end, like where he's wearing the suit and he's looking kind of like slick and stuff, while you've got Dumbledore in all of his robes and everything when they're fighting. I think it would be a nice contrast of styles, just to make them look a little bit differently.
Well, honestly, now it is time for Rate It or Hate It.
Okay. So, between 1 to 5, how many kitten cups do you give it?
I think it's a 4.5. If there's anything closer to a 5, then I'll take it.
I think I'd give it a 3 out of 5. I think it was strong. I think it was good. I think it had a couple of good things, but I really just think that Goblet of Fire was better.
I mean, I would have gave it a 3, but the big twist was, like, Dolores said, "Tell them I need me no harm. I'm a good person." Yes. Harry used her own words against her, like, I mustn't tell lies.
That was pretty funny.
And that's why I got it to a 4. I mean, it would have been a 5, but I have a movie that is better than this. And it's not even in the series, but...
Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay, so we got a fact here. Now, in the movie, Nymphadora Tonks' hair is usually purple. Now, in the books, they're pink. Her hair is usually pink. But in the movie, it's mostly purple. Do you know why?
Because her hair can change colors because she's one of the black sisters.
Yeah, she can change her hair color at will and everything like that. But the reason that they went with purple as opposed to pink was because we've seen pink be really associated with Umbridge, and we didn't kind of want to confuse people within the movie. And so that is why her hair is purple in the movie.
Oh!
Yeah.
So now I'm starting to get why I thought pink was a very bad color in that situation.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's wrap this up.
Now it's time for some news. Now there will be some very, very soon podcast episodes. And they are Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince and Wreck-It Ralph, which we will do today.
So it'll be the old Wreck-It Ralph, not the new one, but the old Wreck-It Ralph, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to do that. Because we're going to wreck it! All right, let's get up out of here. All right, this has been Hero Talk with Talis and Trev.
I'm Talis.
No, you're not. You're not. I'm Talis.
And I'm Trev.
Because when there's a hero,
we talk.